Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in northern Indiana and earned a BS degree in marketing from Indiana University. He's the founder and president of Life Remodeled, which repurposed Durfee Middle Elementary School into a community innovation center focused on entrepreneurship, education, and community, and beautifying over 300 surrounding blocks. He has recently purchased the former Dominican Girls High School in Northeast Detroit to do a similar project. His name, Chris Lambert. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're with Chris Lambert, the founder, CEO of Life Remodel. Chris, welcome and honored to have you back.
So great to be back again. What is this, our third time around?
Maybe.
All right. What an honor.
Can we start by you leading us in an opening prayer?
All right, please. Let me give it my best shot. So I like to just keep it relational. Dear Dad, or good afternoon, Dad. Thank you for this opportunity to get together and to talk as brothers. We pray for all our listeners. We pray for ourselves. May we just experience your Holy Spirit at work doing your thing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Chris, you grew up in a phenomenally small northern Indiana town.
Pretty small.
Talk about your childhood, your mom and your dad.
Okay, that town was so small, we didn't have a four-way stoplight until I was in middle school. My mom and dad were both school teachers. They taught public school for 40 years. I'm very proud of them. And I have an older sister who's 3.5 years older than me. And so my story has a lot to do with faith and spirituality. My mom and dad and my sister are all people of faith to this day, which is absolutely incredible. But when I was a kid, they would take us to church service maybe once a month because they felt like it was the right thing to do. But I can't ever recall them talking about God in the home. For whatever reason, I was a very spiritual kid. I loved the person of Jesus, so much so that in eighth grade, other kids called me Lambert the Jesus Freak because I was the kid who was trying to convert everybody to Christianity. I wasn't very successful at it. And that's how things got started.
All right. But at age 16... you said goodbye, Jesus. Mm. So talk about that 16 to 22 chapter.
Yeah, I had a little bit of a growth spurt right before I turned 16. I became kind of a big fish in a small pond when it came to athletics. And I started looking at my buddies who weren't following God. And I came to the conclusion they were having more fun in life than me. And so I said goodbye, Jesus, in probably less polite words. And I did whatever I wanted to do for the next 6 years of my life, from 16 to 22, whatever I thought was going to make me the most happy. You know, it started off with the idea would be girls and sports and drinking and drugs and parties, and then going to Indiana University, studying business with the plan to then go to law school and become a real estate developer so that I could make the kind of money I thought that I wanted to live the lifestyle I thought would make me happy.
2002, junior year, Indiana University, you go to Australia for 6 months. Talk about what happened.
Yes, I went over there to study. I'll put that in air quotes. And wasn't a lot of studying going on, but while I was there, I ended up experiencing what I would call a radical encounter with God that changed the entire trajectory of my life. A couple things happened in Australia. One, I was traveling around to various countries in Southeast Asia, the Pacific Rim, and of course Australia. I began to realize the world was a very big place. It did not revolve around me and my 22-year-old ego. I met a couple guys who were my best friends over there. They happened to be Jesus followers. They kept trying to get me to come to their church service. I said, not going to happen, but I gave in. I went, and that's where this story culminates in an experience that really changed my life.
One night in a church, you hear from God. What did he tell you?
Okay, so to some of our listeners, this is going to sound very familiar. To others, they're going to think I'm a little bit crazy, or maybe a lot crazy. I heard him say to me that I was like lukewarm water. I wasn't hot or cold, and he was about to spit me out of his mouth. So that was something that God literally said to a church 2,000 years ago. It's in the very last book of the New Testament in Revelation. That wasn't something that the pastor said that night or that we read in the Bible. I know I had read that at some point when I was a kid. So I heard him say that to me. It was not an audible voice, but it was more clear than anything I'd ever heard another human being say. What that did for me was over the next few seconds, I became what I would call spiritually sober, and I saw this highlight reel of the last 6 years of my life, which really I should call it a low light reel. And I realized that God let me do everything that I wanted to do. He didn't mess up my plans. He didn't get in my way. And he let me get what I thought that I wanted. And at no point during those last 6 years had I ever been as happy or as satisfied as I was when I was Lambert the Jesus freak. And so it became a no-brainer. And the pastor gave one of those come up to the front deals, what we might call an altar call. I went up to the front. I remember exactly what I did. I got down on my knees. I looked up. I said, God, from this moment forward, I'm going to stop doing whatever you want me to stop doing. I'm going to start doing whatever you want me to start doing. It, by faith in you, Jesus, amen.
We're talking to Chris Lambert. When we come back, we're going to ask him about how it was he became a minister, a salesman for God. If you want to learn more, www.liferemodeled.com. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Rasula. We're with Chris Lambert. Chris, 2006, you become a salesman for God.
I would describe it quite like that, but yes, I'm tracking with you.
You're ordained, you're a minister.
Yes.
Please.
So I ended up canceling law school and going to seminary to become a pastor. And here's why. We talked about this encounter with God in Australia. Before I left Indiana University, there was not a single Jesus follower or Christian in the entire fraternity of 180 guys. Before I got back, and this had nothing to do with me, my three best friends in the frat had also had these crazy encounters with Jesus. And so did my drug dealer, who was an atheist before I left. So I get back and I said, wow, what happened to you guys? They said, Lambert, what happened to you? And we all knew God happened. And we got this Bible study going in the fraternity. After about 3 weeks, we had 12 to 15 guys come in every week. 1 week we had over 35 guys. And I started thinking about my future and I realized, I don't want to go to law school and become a real estate developer because my motivation was just to try to prove myself to myself. I just want to help people connect with God. So I felt like he was calling me to be a pastor. Canceled law school, moved out to LA. I studied at a seminary called Fuller Theological Seminary, which is where I learned a lot of the theological things that you learn at seminary. But more importantly, I discerned a call to God from God to ministry, to start a church in Detroit. Before doing that, I was ordained in a church in Southern California.
The church, Ecclesia. Tell us about the culture, the mission of that church.
So I met the woman who became my wife in Los Angeles at seminary. And through our relationship together, we both heard from God that he was calling us to the city of Detroit or to the region of Detroit at the time to start a church. And we decided that the name of the church would be Ecclesia, which is the original word for church in the New Testament, in the original language of the New Testament, which is Koine Greek. And so the idea was to go back to 2,000 years ago, what is the way of life that we call church that Jesus is calling us to, and embody that and live that out in the lives of others in the Detroit area. Well, before we came to Detroit, Jack, we did what most people do, and we moved to Africa for 9 months.
Yes.
And it was that experience in Africa that radically enlightened my view of the person of Jesus, where I began to realize Jesus spent the majority of his ministry with people who were the most marginalized and oppressed. He lived among some of the most marginalized people in the world, the Jewish people at the time who were under Roman rule. He spent so much of his time disproportionately with people who were blind and lame and the lepers, the untouchables, prostitutes, drunks. And he tried to get his disciples to do the same, and they weren't always excited about it. And I came to the conclusion, Jack, that God wasn't necessarily calling all of us to move into a mud hut or even into the hood, but that we're here on this earth to invest a lot of our time, talent, and resources in people who are experiencing suffering. So when we started this church in 2007, Ecclesia or Ecclesia, no one actually really knows how it's pronounced because that language hasn't been spoken in many years. We realized that that's going to be a major part of this ministry, is trying to meet people where they are in the midst of their pain and suffering.
You mentioned you and Andrea went to Africa for 9 months. What's the biggest thing that the African people taught you and Andrea?
Okay, so one of the themes that is very common for many people who travel to Africa for the first time in various parts of Africa, this is a common theme, especially where we were in Western Africa, and that is this unimaginable level of joy that is unexplainable, because there are a lot of challenges in many parts of sub-Saharan Africa and all throughout the continent. There also is thriving in plenty of elements of Africa. Many people are still doing well, but the people that we were investing in, there was a lot of death, there was a lot of disease, there was a lot of lack of resources and opportunity. Yet the joy was profound. If you could bottle it up, people would pay millions and billions of dollars for it. And so that was very eye-opening.
I've always said I'm not the host of this show, I'm the beneficiary. Regularly when I've had somebody that has worked with the third world countries, the poorest of the poor, they always say they've learned much more from the poor than they ever did from the rich. Chris, why?
So I am convinced that God is biased and that he has a disproportionate affection for people who are experiencing suffering. He is even more present in those scenarios. And so that's my explanation for why there is so much joy. There is so much of a presence of God there, and it is extremely humbling. It is very educational. It reorients your entire perspective on who am I, where am I, what's the problem, what's the solution. It's a reminder of who really matters, what really matters. And so that is what we experienced in Africa. That is why we love Africa, is because of God at work through people in profound ways that we do not normally see day to day. And that is the same mindset that took us to the city of Detroit. And I would say, as I'm sure we're going to unpack some of the Detroit experiences, I have learned far more from people in the city of Detroit than we've been able to give.
If I recall right, you had the church west of Telegraph.
Yes.
But then the first community development you ever did was a house or a home in Pontiac.
The first one was in Westland.
Okay.
And then we built four houses the next year. One of those was in Pontiac.
All right. So talk about that year, if you would.
Sure. So we got an idea to create a nonprofit, and we called it Life Remodeled. And this was our little bitty church of less than 200 people. We had about $8,000 in the bank. We didn't have anyone in our congregation that was well-known in the community or influential. And we felt God was calling us to create this nonprofit where we would build houses in 6 days and deed them to low-income families free of charge, but also invest in the family and the surrounding community in a holistic way. And so we built the first house in 2011 in Westland. And then in 2012, we were in four suburban cities, Pontiac, Hazel Park, Redford, and Farmington Hills. And that was an incredible experience for the families. It was not a great experience administratively because we partnered with a number of churches that were working to try to take on the complexity of this project. And what we realized coming out of that project is we need to pull things back and we need to create a healthy organization that can really carry the weight of this mission moving into the future. And so we consolidated our organization the following year in 2013, and we built only one house in the city of Detroit on West Philadelphia Street, right near Central Detroit Christian. And here's what happened, Jack. We were building this house. It was going amazing. And a guy comes out of his house next door, and he looks at me, and in a very loud voice, he says, "Hey, where's my," and then he used a choice word, "where's my bleeping house?" I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Man, you ain't doing nothing in this neighborhood." He said, "Well, I take that back. The 5,000 volunteers that are cleaning up in the community, that is meaningful." He says, "But you giving a house to only one family for free, that's not really going to change the community." And I walked away from that conversation, and instead of being defensive, something inside of me said, this man is onto something. And that led to us making a radical strategy change that very year, where we shifted our strategy entirely.
We're talking to Chris Lambert, Life Remodeled, www.liferemodeled.org. And I'm Jack Fasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything Is Possible. I'm Jack Fasula. This is Anything Is Possible with Chris Lambert. So, Chris, once again, God speaks to you. This time, what did he tell you?
Well, he said, stop building houses and start remodeling existing schools and stay focused in the city of Detroit. And so we didn't know anyone at Detroit Public Schools in leadership at the time. We made a cold call to DPS. And within 2 weeks, I was sitting in the office of the then emergency manager, the chief of staff, and the chief operating officer. I shared this vision. I said, we feel led to renovate an existing school. And we also, instead of building houses, we really want to repair 21 owner-occupied homes. And this time we want to mobilize 10,000 volunteers in the community. I made it very clear I couldn't promise that we could do any of these things, but that we would be talking to our Father in heaven and asking him to make possible what I had just mentioned. They said, go for it, but just so you know, we're not going to give you any money. And so they pointed us in the direction of Cody High School. And we ended up completing a $5.5 million project in 2014 that was transformative in the community.
And that was Joy Road, Southfield Expressway. You fixed a football field. How did you ever get 10,000 volunteers to work for a week?
Sure. So when you talk about that football field, I'll just say that the high school didn't have a football field. They played every game away for six straight seasons, including homecoming. I don't know how you do that, Jack, but Detroiters find a way. And so we ended up building a synthetic football field that is still there to this day. And the football team actually went to the city championship for the first time in years, right after we built that field. But to go back to your question of 10,000 volunteers, I get asked this question quite a bit. How do you get that many people to show up for a six-day event? And I compare it to starting a restaurant. All right. If you were to open up a new restaurant and you have impeccable service, it's right on time. The food is just, the best tasting food that anyone had ever experienced in the region. And, they leave this place just on cloud nine. They're going to tell one or two people about what an incredible experience it was. On the other hand, if the server's late, if you're seated late, if the food comes out cold, if the restroom's dirty, they're going to leave that restaurant. They're going to tell 7 to 10 people about what a terrible experience that was. So what Life Remodeled did is we built up credibility throughout the years that when you come and volunteer here, you are going to work. You are going to not stand around. You're going to do something that is visible, tangible, meaningful. You're going to make relationships with other community members who are present. And people began to spread the word until eventually we had 10,000 volunteers.
Okay. It's one thing to say to them, we're going to fix up Cody High School. But then when you say, we're also going to remodel 100 blocks around Cody High School. Were you nuts?
Yeah, I would like to say I'm just the right amount of crazy, to where I trust that if God guides, he's going to provide and he's going to make a way, right? I do want to say this, that in all the years we've been doing these projects, we have never once experienced a violent crime or anything of the sort. And that was one of the things that people were initially concerned of in the suburbs is, if we're going to come into the neighborhoods of Detroit, we've seen these neighborhoods on the news, what's going to happen? And really, God's presence is just there in a way. It's almost miraculous, Jack, and maybe it really is miraculous. But not only are we all working collaboratively, removing blight, cutting down overgrown brush and weeds, getting rid of illegal dumping, but people are coming together from all different walks of life, different races, different religions, different socioeconomic backgrounds, different political perspectives, and finding a unified purpose and of saying, we all agree on what we're doing here today. And in the process, people began to see each other through new eyes.
How did you feed them?
Well, we had some very generous restaurants and some other appropriately crazy individuals.
Three pieces individuals. Of fish and 10 loaves or
something. I wish that was the answer. It kind of happened that way because honestly, Jack, I look back at the logistics and I'm still saying to this day, how did that happen? How did so many people get motivated to give their best, their time, their talents, those who are passionate about food, those who are passionate about hospitality? How did that happen? And again, it is miraculous. And it is also a testimony that our region is passionate about Detroit and passionate about one another. If we give people an opportunity to make tangible difference, they will take it.
So that was 2014.
Yes, sir.
All right. Then in 2015, you go to the Osborne neighborhood. And in 2016, you go to the Denby High School neighborhood. Talk about those two remodeling jobs.
Those were also about $5 to $5.5 million investments at Osborne High School. When it rained outside, it literally poured on the students. There were trash cans filled with brown, moldy water. Jack, it's the kind of stuff that if it would have been north of 8 Mile, we would have seen this on national news. But because it was in Detroit, unfortunately, it was just another day. And so we re-roofed this school building, actually 70% of it. It was a 150,000 square foot roof. Pretty big job. We put in a brand new gym floor, and get this, the boys basketball team went to the Elite Eight in the state of Michigan for the first time in over four decades that year that we built that gym. We redid the library, the cafeteria at Denby High School. We built a park next to the high school that was designed by high school students. And so we thought this was going to be our strategy moving forward. We then set our sights to renovate Central High School in 2017. And as we were working on getting into an agreement with the Detroit Public Schools to ask for their permission to renovate Central High School, they told us no. Because they said, what we're going to do is move all the students from Durfee Elementary Middle School, which is right next to Central High School. We're going to move them into Central. And they gave us the idea. They said, why don't you repurpose Durfee? The first words out of my mouth were no thank you. Because the word on the street was that building was in shambles, and we didn't have interest at the time in managing real estate. We wanted to just renovate a school and then go on and do the next one in the next community. But after about 2 weeks, I was driving in the neighborhood and I felt like God said to me, go into that school, Durfee, and check it out. I walk in, I meet the current principal at the time. I look around, I say, wow, this is in better shape than what I've been told. We've worked on in worse environments than this. So now I'm no longer intimidated by the building. And I started to realize we could have more impact doing this work as it was described and repurposing this building, and I'll get to that in a minute, than everything we've done in our entire organization's history combined.
Well, Durfee was built in 1927, 143,000 square feet. Soon thereafter, you took me to Durfee, and it was an awful condition, okay? And you and your team and volunteers have turned it into an innovation center. Describe what it is today.
Today, it is the home of 34 nonprofit organizations. It is 100% occupied with these organizations, serving 28,000 people. And all of the organizations that are in our building are doing one of three things. They are either providing educational experiences, enrichment, whether it's literacy through Beyond Basics, whether it's after-school youth programming through Metro Detroit Youth Clubs or the Big Brothers Big Sisters, 15 total youth nonprofits are in this building. We also have the largest workforce development initiative in Detroit, Detroit at Work, along with several other workforce development programs. And the third category is health and wellness services, groups like Gilda's Club, which makes sure no one faces cancer alone. And what we're doing is we're providing more than a physical space for these nonprofits to be in our building. We actually lease them space at cost. What it costs us to operate the building, that's what they pay. That's why we have 100% occupancy. That's one reason, and a waiting list. But this is more than real estate. We're helping the organizations collaborate to achieve very ambitious outcomes that none of us could have ever achieved alone.
We're talking to Chris Lambert, www.liferemodeled.org. When we come back, we're going to start to talk about his latest initiative. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on 760 WJR.
You've been listening to your inspirational fireside chat, Anything Is Possible, for nearly 20 years.
This is Anything Is Possible, and I'm Jack Rasula.
But what has Jack been up to lately? Search at AIP Speaker Series and find out. Jack has interviewed thousands of historical voices, some of whom have offered him their philosophy of life, like Tom Izzo.
And Tom writes, "Work hard, persistence always wins out, discipline is the highest form of love, stay humble."
The great Ernie Harwell.
"My aim is to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with God."
And the voices of our generation.
"I am reassured continuously that His unfathomable love and mercy are the greatest gifts of my life, and my constant source of strength, reassurance, and guidance. His Holiness, Pope Francis."
At AIP Speakers Series is the YouTube channel where all of these jewels can be heard, including some of Anything Is Possible's greatest guests.
And we're with Mitch Albom.
The Little Liar is really a book about truth and lies and the price we pay when we lie.
This is Anything Is Possible, and with Tom Watson.
"My father loved to play with the pros at the club. Developed a very quick friendship with Stan and played some golf with him. And then he would ask me to play golf with him and Stan."
Our guest this week was born with a rare disorder characterized by the absence of arms and legs. His name, Nick Vujicic.
Something that every human being actually deals with, Jack. It's the choice of continuing to believe or giving up.
And recordings of the AIP Speaker Series events at St. John's Resort. Go to YouTube and search at AIP Speaker Series. It's free. And remember,
anything is possible.
Spohom. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible. We're talking to Chris Lambert, founder, CEO, Life Remodeled. I quote him now, "We do not serve neighborhoods. We serve with neighborhoods." So now you've gone to the northeast most. Now you've gone to northeast Detroit. Talk about serving this latest neighborhood, and what are you doing?
Well, so if we go back to our last segment before the commercial, we talked about the initiatives that are at the Durfee Innovation Society. And the reality is all of those initiatives were driven by community voice. We spend many, many hours, days, weeks, months, engaging with community members to find out what are their hopes, dreams, visions, and values. That determines what goes in these buildings. And so we did the same thing on the east side in the old Dominican High School, which was a Catholic girls' high school built in 1941 that closed in 2005. And then it became a charter school called Winans Academy of Performing Arts, which was a great school, but unfortunately closed down last year. And when they reached out to us and asked us to purchase the school, we were very interested. But we said, before we do that, we need to ask the community first, one, if they want this done to this building by Life Remodeled, and two, what do they want in it? Well, the Durfee Neighborhood Alliance got together and they heard our story. They met with one another and they took a vote. And I thought for sure there'd be at least one or two people who'd be against it. I knew it'd be a favorable vote because, as you said earlier, we partnered with the Denby community back in 2016. The vote was unanimous and they said, we want to partner with Life Remodeled. And then over the next few months, we discovered their vision for this space. And it's very similar to the Durfee Innovation Society. They want youth programs. They want workforce development that leads to real, sustainable, livable wage jobs. And they want great health and wellness. But they added two more things that we never done before. They said, we decided 3 years ago, we want Whittier, which is the main street that we're on, to be focused on technology and arts and culture. And so we're going to build a 26,000 square foot addition onto Dominican that'll be focused solely on tech education and tech workforce development. And when it comes to arts and culture, it just so happens Dominican has a beautiful 700-seat auditorium that unfortunately the roof was leaky and moldy and the seats got ruined. And so we heard that the Fox Theater was getting brand new seats. Mm-hmm. We made a call to our good friends over at Illich Charities and Fox Theater, and we said, we'd like to have your 700 very best seats. Well, they didn't comply with the request, and they gave us 800 of their very best seats. So now we have the pick of the pick, and we'll be installing those seats sometime early next year. And so this is going to become the premier performing arts space in a Detroit neighborhood. It's obviously not going to be as amazing as the iconic Fox, but it'll be the best in a Detroit neighborhood.
7.5 acres.
Yes, sir.
71,000 square feet currently, and you say you partner with the neighborhood, but part of the partnership is that in the two phases, Chris Lambert, you have to come up with $16.5 million.
Oof. When you say it like that, that
it's
feels
just
weighty.
Zeros. It's just zeros. How are you ever going to do that?
Mm. So I'll go back to that generosity of our community, right? In Detroit and in the suburbs, there are people who are looking for meaningful opportunities that are sustainable investments in Detroit. And so when I talk to people about getting involved in this work, I learned that I don't need to beg anybody for anything. Instead, I need to meet people and discover what are their passions. And it turns out quite a few people are passionate about the city of Detroit. And for those that are passionate about the future of opportunities for children and families, I don't need to beg them. I need to invite them to increase their impact in the world by investing in this project. And so, yes, it's a donation, but it's really an investment into real impact. And so let me just briefly mention some impact at the Durfee Innovation Society. The police chief called us up earlier this year and he said, you got to hear this. Your neighborhood has the lowest crime rate in all of the city of Detroit. Before we opened our doors, it was in the top 10 highest. Last year, Gallup Research surveyed thousands of Detroiters all across the city, and their research concluded that our neighborhood around Durfee has the second highest perception of thriving opportunities in the entire city. We didn't even know the study was being completed until it was finished. And so when you look at that impact of organizations collaborating together with community leaders driving the vision, this model works. And so now, we're only $2 million away from the first $12 million we need on phase one because people have seen the proof in the pudding and they're saying, how can I be a part of this?
At breakfast a couple weeks ago, I said, how did you do this? And you said, Jack, God did it through people. Mm. All right, football field, you want to redo the football field. You were $300,000 short.
Oh, I remember.
And then God sends you a couple.
Yes, it was a couple that called us up. Their son actually called us and said, my mom and dad are going to come on Sunday. We used to have a seventh-day celebration after our six-day project. And they're going to give $30,000 for the football field. And I'd never met this couple before or their son. And I said, that's incredible. I just want to make sure you know that we're $300,000 short. And he laughed and I laughed. And he said, well, we're going to give 30. So they show up. 45 minutes before I'm supposed to get on the stage and meet Mayor Duggan for the first time. This was in 2014. He was coming to speak at our event as well. And they said, can you give us a tour of the school? I'm thinking to myself, oh my goodness, I don't have time for a tour. I got to get ready for this speech. But my words out of my mouth were, absolutely. So we go through and we're touring Cody High School. Halfway through, they stop me and the dad, his name is Bob Walrich Sr. He says, do you still need that $300,000 for the football field? And Jack, I had no idea what was going on because my mind was just elsewhere. I was tired from the six-day project. And I said, yes, sir, we're still $300,000 short. Normally, I would pick up on a question like that. But I got his next point. He said, now you said whoever gives that $300,000 is given the ability to name the field. Now I know what's going on. I said, yes, sir, you can name it whatever you'd like. He looks over at his wife. He gives her a nod. She gives him a nod back. She pulls out the checkbook. He writes a $300,000 check, and he says, we want to name it Hope Field. I lost it. It was that moment that solidified for me. Wherever God guides, God provides. I don't need to beg, but I just need to give people an opportunity.
One day, God sends you a little boy named Caleb. Please.
Yeah, so we talked about a $300,000 donation. There's been $1 million donations, but one of my favorite donations of all is from a young boy who was 8 years old at the time named Caleb, who had blossomed and still continues to blossom to this day at the Durfee Innovation Society. And I mean, he's involved in violin. He's involved in the Boys and Girls Club work after school. He's involved in all kinds of programs. And one day he pulls out all the money he had in his pocket, which was a dollar. And as serious as he could be, he said, I'm giving life for mile this dollar right now because I want to see you expand Durfee to other places in Detroit. Wow.
Chris Lambert, www.liferemodeled.org. I quote him again. He is a just-in-time God. Okay, in the last 7 years, Durfee and now Dominican, what's amazed you the most, Chris?
Wow. Well, there is a lot, but let's just go with the theme of what you just said, that he's a just-in-time God, which you and I both believe, right? These projects are always impossible. At every step, it starts with the complexity of really hearing the voice of the community. That's no easy feat, right? And finding unity in the community. Then it goes to finding the organizations that want to move into this space that will deliver the services the community has asked for. Then it comes down to getting the construction aligned and then finding the funding to pay for the construction. So there's so many moving parts. And yes, it could all be done if someone wrote a $16.5 million check. And by the way, Jack, if that ever happens, I'm not going to complain about it, just so you know. But usually what it entails is what I would call God winks. It's not just the project that matters to God. It's the process, but most of all, it's the people. And by doing it collectively and by it being something really significant, it brings about a product that's far greater than just it all being done in one swoop.
Chris Lambert, you are a shining example of, with God, anything is possible. Keep up the great, great work.
Together we will, brother.
Please join us next week. Until then, I'm Jack Pasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spall.